بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. The Mubarak Hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, it is mentioned that the month of Ramadan has three sets of 10 days. The first 10 days are the 10 days of Rahmat, mercy. Today being the 10th, this is the last day of the days of mercy. The second 10 days are days of maghfirat. And the third 10 days are the days of emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Itqum minan nar. Some ulama explained that the meaning of this hadith is, of course, throughout the month of Ramadan, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is sending down His mercy, Allah is forgiving, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also freeing from the fire of Jahannam. But the first 10 days has this power and this effect of most of Allah's mercy, which a person can acquire from the very beginning, is from the beginning of Ramadan. And then the effect of maghfirat comes in the second 10 days, and the effect of emancipation from the fire of Jahannam is seen in the last. So basically, Allah's sifat of forgiveness, of mercy, of forgiving is throughout the month of Ramadan. But this is seen most in the first 10 days of mercy, second 10 days of maghfirat, and third 10 days of itqum minan nar. However, Hazrat Shaykh Mulana Muhammad Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali has given a different explanation. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, that there are three classes of servants in this ummah. The first class are those servants who are all the time in ta'at, in obedience. So when the month of Ramadan enters, they benefit from the month of Ramadan from the very, very beginning, from the word go, as though they are receiving from Allah's mercy. In the second category, the second class of Allah's servants are those servants who they are carrying out good deeds in their lives, but at the same time they are also committing sins. Maybe they come into the masjid to perform salah, maybe they are watching the TV, maybe they are giving charity also, but maybe their businesses, some aspects of their business is not being run correctly, maybe insurance and all these things are there. So on one hand, that they got good also in them, and on the other side, that there's some problems also. So these servants, when the month of Ramadan begins, provided that they turn their hearts to Allah, and they make amends, they seek forgiveness, and they carry out the Ramadan in the way it's supposed to be carried out. So alhamdulillah, Ramadan is benefiting them, but they truly begin to benefit from the second 10 days. And the third class of servants are those servants that they are all the time in sin, all the time in guna. But if they show that honor, reverence, respect, sanctity to the month of Ramadan in the way they're supposed to show it, Allah Pak makes it such that they also don't become losers. They also benefit from Ramadan, but we find that the last 10 days is that we are now, they start benefiting from the month of Ramadan. Fesla and the decision of their maghfirat is made, or they're freeing, being freed from the fire of Jahannam is made by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this 3 10 days of mercy, maghfirat and itqum minan nar, being freed from the fire of Jahannam, is in relation to the 3 groups of this ummah. Nevertheless, of course, a person in the month of Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted us and encouraged us that we should be in abundant istighfar, how we should be reciting kalima tayyiba in abundance, and we should also be making istighfar and begging Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for His forgiveness, for His forgiving us from all our gunas and our sins. Because insan committing sins all the time. So it should not be that these sins become a barrier for us benefiting from the month of Ramadan. So in this relation, in this regard, there's a very interesting incident that is mentioned. You see, in the land of Multan, there was a very great saint and buzurg. He had a khanqa. This buzurg's name was Shah Ruknuddin Multani. Shah Ruknuddin was a very, very popular and very great alim of deen. His father also was a saint of his time. His father's name was Sadruddin Multani. And he also was a very great wali and buzurg. His name was Bahauddin Zakariya Multani. His grandfather was among the khulafa of Allama Shihabuddin Saharwardi, the leader of the spiritual order of the Saharwardis. Very, very great buzurg, Allama Shihabuddin Saharwardi. his khulafa, his khalifa. So he's speaking about the grandson, Shah Ruknuddin Multani. He had a huge khanqa, and people from all around India, and different parts of the land, they used to flock to his masjid, to his khanqa, and to benefit from him. So it was a time where the Mughal kings were ruling. So one of the kings, Ghiyasuddin, the Ghallaq, he became very worried and concerned. He said, this man is pulling big crowds here. He said, people are racing, rushing towards his majlis, coming to perform their salah behind him. And especially on the day of Friday, then he used to have a bayan, and people all used to be gathering. Like how, you know, honey is, the honeybee, wherever there is honey, there's the honeybee is there. So Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala means that where this buzruk was, he said that he had such a pull that all the people would be hastening and rushing and coming towards his majlis to benefit from him, taking that fuyuz. So the king became worried. Now the kings, they are more concerned about their kursi, about their chair. And if this man has a lot of popularity, he becomes very, very famous, tomorrow maybe he can overthrow the king, overthrow the government. So the king was worried. So he began to make mashura with one of the ulama who were working for the state. His name was Zahiruddin. So the king, he told Zahiruddin that, oh, Mulana Zahiruddin, I see this person is very popular and there's so many people that are flocking to his majlis, to his gathering, benefiting from him, especially on Fridays. There's like thousands of people that are coming. So what you think, you know, what's the reason for this? I have some fear in my heart that maybe, you know, tomorrow something can happen drastically against the kingdom, against my rule. So what's the cause and what's the reason for all these people rushing to this buzrug? So Mulana Zahiruddin, the king's alim, the king's man who's working for the state, so he told the king, he says that, so the king said, you think he's got some karamat, he's got some miracle is with him? So Mulana Zahiruddin said that, oh king, if people are hastening and people are rushing to benefit from him, what greater miracle than they could be than this? What greater miracle could there be that people just look at this person and they all are just pulled towards him? So this itself is like a miracle. I don't think any other cause there is, we should be looking for other. It seems that he's a wali, he's a friend of Allah. Being a friend of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, that attraction and that pull is natural within him. Everybody is rushing. So anyway, Mu'az Zahiruddin told the king this. But Mu'az Zahiruddin in his heart is thinking, he said, look, I told the king that, you know, that the natural pull within his heart, within his tongue of pulling, this is a sign of him being a wali of Allah, a miracle in itself. But really, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if this man is a very great person. I have to test him out. So Mawlana Zahiruddin is an alim, and Shah Ruknuddin is also an alim. And generally, for an alim to be carried away and impressed by an alim, that's a big thing, you know. Especially with the two top people, then, you know, a person won't be influenced or impressed very quickly. So he said, he's thinking in his heart that, no, I told the king this, but I need to test him out, man, to see is it worth his mettle or not. I must take his imtihan, take his examination. So tomorrow what I'll do, I'll go there, I'll prepare some questions in my heart, in my mind, and I'll go and test him out. I'll go in under some pretext as though I need to find out, you know, certain masail, certain things. But in doing so, I'll take his imtihan. So he's planning the thing out, you know, I'll go there, but I'll alim and I'll put him to test. So he was thinking about this in the night, then he goes to sleep. When he goes to sleep in the night, strangely, he sees in a dream that he is in the khanqa, the masjid of this alim, Shah Ruknuddin. And Shah Ruknuddin comes towards him and he has some mitai. And he says, Mawlana Zahiruddin, how are you? I brought this mitai for you. And he took the mitai and he put it in his mouth, in the dream. And when he woke up, he could even perceive the taste of the mitai in his mouth. He said, no, this must be, yes, this maybe I was just thinking about it. You know? So he dismissed this thought of him being a wali and buzrug. And this being part of his karamat also, his miracles, he said, no, maybe shaitan he thought, maybe I was thinking, you know. So he didn't pay attention to it. So that day he came. When he came, so there were many, many people, hundreds of people around, thousands of people, it was a Friday. So he also sat in the crowd, and this buzruk, he was delivering his discourse and his bayan. When the bayan was over, people met the buzruk, and then they were dispersing, they were moving away. So Maulana Zahiruddin, now this is his first encounter, first meeting with this buzruk. As he came forward, so Shah Ruknuddin, he left everybody else and he came towards Maulana Zahiruddin. He said, Maulana Zahiruddin, I'm so happy to meet you. Now, they hadn't met before. This is the first time they're meeting and he's taking him by his name. Maulana Zahiruddin, I'm so happy to meet you. And Alim of your caliber, great man, it's a great honor for us to meet you and to sit with you. Maybe we'll discuss some issues about deen, some dini masail. The other people who come, they're all people of the dunya. They don't have knowledge of deen. But you being a person of such a caliber, hey, I'll be honored now. Let's sit down and discuss some masail. Now, Maulana Zahiruddin, before he came, the questions that he had in his mind, he said, you know, I'll ask this buzruk. I said, when you make wuzu, then in the Quran Majid mentions the four farais of wuzu. That you wash the face, then you wash the hands, till the elbows, then you make masa and the feet. That's the farais. But before the farais of the wuzu, we are commanded that you first wash your hands, and then you gargle the mouth, and then you put water in the nose. So what's the hikmat? You know, what's the wisdom behind doing these three actions before getting into the actual wuzu of carrying out the farais? So he's planning all this. I'll take his imtihan, take his examination by this. I'll ask him what's the hikmat. What's the wisdom? So without him mentioning to the buzruk his questions, the buzruk sat down and said, you know, our deen is so beautiful, man. Everything in our deen makes sense. Everything of our deen is conforming to, you know, intellect, logic. It's not Allah Ta'ala is commanding us to do something and it's against logic. No, no, everything. Sometimes the logic, we might not understand it. Everything conforms to our understanding, intellect. And of course, we don't need to know the wisdom behind the command of Allah in any situation. We are commanded to obey Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, if we don't understand, Allah will show us at that day. We can't tell the king, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, no, I'll only listen if it makes sense to me. You know, why you say that riba interest is haram? I think, you know, there's a lot of good and benefit for our businesses. No, it doesn't work like that. We being servants, we being slaves, we have to obey. And the command of the king, this has to be carried out in all situations. So now this buzuk told him that our deen is so beautiful, everything makes sense, everything conforms to reason, and the wisdom is ajib. So he said, see, when we start making wuzu, then the first thing we wash our hands, then we put the water in our mouth, we gargle, and then we put the water in our nose, we rinse the nose. How beautiful. He says, you see, the reason behind this is that when we take the water in our hands, we have to ascertain whether the water will qualify for the wuzu. In order for the water to be regarded as water and qualify for the wuzu, it has to be water, and water has three characteristics, three qualities. The first thing, that the water must have no color, it must have no taste, and it has no smell. That's water. So when you took that water in your hands, you saw, you're looking at it, it got no color, it passed the first test. When you put it in your mouth, it got no taste. And when you put it in your nose, you got no smell. Now you know that this is water, it will qualify for the wuzu. And now you'll commence. So these three actions are the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. And this is the wisdom behind it. Now, this Maulana Zahiruddin, he's shocked, he's surprised. He says, before me asking also. And they may even ask this buzuk, his karamat ya. Allahu Akbar. He says, certain awliya of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. The lesson for us here is, never test an alim. Never test the buzuk. Because this year will be disrespectful. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala can take us to task for it. You know. Sometimes certain awliya, they have a special position by Allah. I was reading in the kitab, it is mentioned that the author of Majma'ul Biharul Anwar, Allama Muhammad Tahir Patni, very, very great buzruk. So he had seen Rasulullah s.a.w. in a dream, and he asked, O Nabi of Allah, in this zamana, who is the greatest wali? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, Shaykhukum, that your sheikh and your ustad, Allama Muttaqi, Ali Muttaqi. Ali Muttaqi is a very great man. Ali Muttaqi, your sheikh, your ustad, he's the greatest in this zamana. So then he says, summa man, after that, who's great, the greatest in the world? He says, summa anta dinyo. So this man so great, this Muhammad Tahir Patni, he wrote this kitab, how many volumes also, it's like a commentary of, though it's on language, explaining the words, but like a commentary of the Sihai Sita, Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmizi, Abu Dawud, Nasai, Ibn Majah, all the kitabs of hadith, such a great man. So when he used to perform the Fajr Salah in his masjid in Palanpur in India, the people by the hundreds used to flock to his masjid to make it for the Fajr, so that they can perform the Fajr Salah in the first saf. Everybody wanted to make it for the first saf. Because the karamat of this Buzrug is that Fajr Salah, whoever performed that Fajr behind him in the first saf, in the Salah they would get ziyarat of the Kaaba Sharif. Allah Pak would lift the veil, they could see Kaaba Sharif. This was the power of this Buzrug. So anyway, this Buzrug Shah Ruknuddin, not a great man, he told this Alim Maulana Zahiruddin, he gave him the answers to the question without him asking it. Gave him everything. So then, Ma Zahir is shocked, Ma Zahiruddin. So he said, Maulana Zahiruddin, you know, I want to ask you one question now, man. One question, you know, I want to ask you. That you see, that this is that Allah Pak has commanded you make wuzu, and this is the process and the procedure that how you make the wuzu, you cleanse your external bodies. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made this a cause that will be followed to purify your external self. If a person is in janabat, then to purify himself, he needs ghusl. He can't come to the masjid for salah if he's in the state of janabat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made it haram, prohibited this, make ghusl. And if a person is in the state of hadas, he's got taharat, but he hasn't got wuzu. He's got taharat, he doesn't need a farz ghusl, but he hasn't got wuzu. So he's got hadas, hadas e asghar. So he can enter the masjid, but he can't perform, he can't come in the court of Allah to perform that salah because he's not pure to the point where Allah has allowed him to stand in the court of Allah. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had commanded a second level of purification. The first level was from hadath-e akbar, from a state of janabat impurity, you must cleanse yourself. Then once you pure from that state, then there's a second level of purity. And the second level of purity is that hadath-e asghar, now you make wuzu. But this is all for external purification. So this Buzrug Shah Ruknuddin says, Mawlana Zahiruddin, if a person's heart is impure, if a person got doubts about Buzrugan Deen, a person, his heart is impure because he's misusing his eyes. His heart got malice, he's got hatred, he's got doubts, he's got this, he's in problem, that is an internal problem, not external. Mawlana Zahiruddin, tell me, how must this man purify him, his heart? Mawlana Zahiruddin already was shivering there, and he was in pasina, he was in perspiration. He says, I don't know anything. I came here to benefit from you. You tell me. He said that then the water of this world, that won't work out. Then that this water won't be able to purify that the heart. You need another type of water. You know what that water is, Mawlana Zahiruddin. Mawlana Zahiruddin said, no, I don't know. He says that the tears of repentance, of istighfar and tawbah. A person has to cry before Allah that, oh Allah, I'm a sinner, I'm in your court, please forgive me. If he cries when the tears fall from his eyes, Allah Pak will clear his heart, Allah will wash his heart with this. Mawlana Zahiruddin, he asked the Buzrug for maafi, he says, just, you know, make maaf everything, you know. So this is the month of Ramadan, and it shouldn't be such that this month of Ramadan slips away, passes, and our maghfirat is not made. That's why we should now ponder that where we had slipped in our life, where we are in guna, and sincerely repent to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, seek forgiveness for the sins that we are committing, and so that this becomes a means of our hearts being purified and be able to draw and benefit from this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Wa akhidu wa alhamdulillah.